Right now on Truth Today, we're going to be discussing the gospel according to Karl Marx, the rise of a false gospel of socialism and Marxism in our churches and now in our college campuses, leading to virulent anti-Semitism and the lies that are spreading about the Jews and about Christians. That and much more right now on Truth Today. Well, good morning or good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us here today. This is Pastor Shahram Haidian with Truth and Love Ministry. Our show is called Truth Today, as we proclaim to speak the truth in love on all matters that the Bible addresses. I'm so glad that you can join us. We are live in the studio. I'm actually here live. This is not pre-recorded. So I'll be excited to see a lot of your comments here today on our Rumble chat. Again, please visit our Rumble. If you're not on Rumble, if you happen to be on our website, we're on rumble.com/Shahram Haidian. And of course, we're live streaming to our website as well at tilministry.com/live. Let us know where you're from. We already have a lot of people jumping on board, letting us know where you're from. So we're glad to have you. Also, we're glad to have a lot of new people. I just came back from being on the road for 9 days. I spoke 11 times in 9 days, and it was a blessed trip and very fruitful. And the Lord did amazing things, including the opportunity that I had to speak to some legislators and pastors at the state capitol in Minnesota. First time that I had had that opportunity in the 25 trips that I've taken to Minnesota. Also, got a chance last Friday night to equip probably close to 60 people to do street ministry, evangelism to Muslims in downtown Minneapolis. That was such a blessing, such a precious time with all of you who were there. So I want to welcome, if any of you are joining us for the first time here today on Truth Today, from this trip that you learned about our show, we want to welcome you. Let us know where you're from. Please comment, especially on Rumble, comment where you're from. Also, one other thing, I want to say have a blessed Passover. I did a teaching this past Sunday on Passover, welcoming the Messiah. That's what it was called. And I pray you get a chance to watch it. If you did not, we're going to get that up hopefully tonight. So we'll get up on Rumble tonight from our Sunday sermon that I had on Facebook. But I want to say have a blessed Passover this week. Started last night. And we're going to hopefully understand better the feasts of the Lord and the divine appointments or timings that these feasts are. I believe that God is absolutely honoring the timing of these feasts, not necessarily the Old Testament requirements of what was required. That was under the law. But I certainly believe that the timing of the feasts of the Lord, including Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits that are coming up, are ones that we should be understanding and observing the timing of them. So please get a chance, if you can, to watch that sermon from Sunday. Again, we'll have it uploaded by tonight on Rumble. And this coming Sunday at Truth and Love Church, we're going to be once again talking about the resurrection, because I believe that the timing would be much more accurate to address the resurrection after the celebration of the Passover, not where we were this year, where it was very early. It was a month earlier, and I don't believe that that was maybe the most accurate timing. But anyway, we'll talk about, yes, some people are asking questions. We'll talk about some of that stuff. But I want to get into this this morning. I was going to cover, and I will be touching on a lot of what we're seeing on these campuses, these university campuses in America, the virulent anti-Semitism, Jew hatred. It is unbelievable where we're at. And in conversation today with a friend of mine out in Minnesota, Melissa Hooray, she was going to cover some of this stuff on her show. She has a show called Hope Report on Frank Speech, Lindell TV. We decided that I'm going to wait till Thursday night. So Thursday night's show, you're not going to want to miss. because it's going to be pre-recorded, but we'll go live at 8 o'clock Thursday, and we're going to be discussing, today's show will be a foundation for that, this rise of this false gospel of socialism and Marxism that is now infiltrated, not just our college campuses, our university campuses, but now our churches, our pulpits. That's what's fueling all of this confusion and virulent Jew hatred and anti-Semitism that we see, where even Christians are now having such a hard time separating the biblical, scriptural support for the Jewish people being back in their homeland, understanding the prophecy that is being fulfilled, understanding that this is all part of God's timing in the last days, separating that from the corrupt nature of the Israeli government, the corrupt nature of the U.S. government. We should be able to separate governments from God's purposes and plans of what he's doing. And yet, because of false theology, because of lies, especially in conservative circles, and I've covered this before, we're seeing just an unbelievable dangerous environment now for Jews in America and for Christians who support the Jewish people and believe that God still has a plan, outstanding plan for the Jewish people. So hang in there for that. But today I want to cover some foundational stuff. We're going to be talking about Karl Marx. Do you have our title, please, Drya? We're going to be talking about the false gospel, the quote-unquote gospel, according to Karl Marx. There's an article that I came across that we'll highlight here today. And we're going to be talking about this article in depth. This is... this is based upon, as I said, an in-depth article that was written in the Harbinger's Daily. But before I go to that, hang on to that for a second, please, Drya. I want to go to this verse, because we always start in the Word of God, right? So I want to go to the Bible and turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Because we're going to be talking about any false gospel. So anything that detracts, anything that takes away from the true good news, gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says is a false gospel. So if you add or take anything away from the presentation of the free gift of God, that he, Jesus, Yeshua, has come as the Passover lamb. I mean, what are we celebrating right now? As Christians, when we celebrate the Passover, unlike, unfortunately, Jews that are still blinded to the Messiah, to Jesus being the Messiah, we know that the Bible says, Jesus, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Jesus is our Passover lamb. So everything that was instituted in the Old Testament, everything that was given in the Old Testament, according to the observance of Passover, Jesus fulfilled. The spotless lamb, a male lamb, the firstborn lamb, going into Jerusalem and being inspected. Everything about the requirement under the law, Jesus Christ fulfilled. Amen? He is our Passover lamb. So that message that we're declaring to the world, that God so loved this world that he sent his one and only begotten, and he did not send the gospel to fuel racism, to fuel cultural Marxism. You'll see today. He did not send his gospel and say the gospel is somehow, for a certain color. And where I'm going with that is the fact that I believe today the gospel has been so perverted, especially what we call a social gospel, a social justice gospel. Because here's what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I marvel. And this is what I would say today to the churches and to the pastors and to all these denominational leaders that are fueling this garbage. I would say this, as Paul said, his words by the Holy Spirit, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But watch this in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So there is still a condition by which God curses. Just like under the Mosaic Law, where there were blessings and there were curses. There was blessings and there was consequences. Paul is saying by the Holy Spirit, if we preach another gospel that then causes men to stumble, and it's a perversion. What does the word pervert mean? It means to change from its original design. If you change the gospel from its original intent, its original meaning, its original design, its original purpose, now there is a curse. There is an eternal consequence. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Twice it says this. For do I now persuade men or God? So if we bring a new version of the gospel, are we now persuading men or are we trying to now persuade God? You see, God will not be persuaded by our idolatry and our falseness. Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ, Paul says. Now, the reason I bring this up is because here's the article that I want to reference. This was an in-depth article that was written in The Harbinger that I want to cover today. Dry, are you ready? And so it is the gospel. Go ahead, please. The gospel according to Karl Marx. And so I'm gonna highlight this, but I encourage you, go to Harbinger's Daily, check this out. There's a lot of information in this article, a good backstory by Patricia Engler. And I believe she is connected to Answers in Genesis, a great ministry. Go ahead and please come back to me. A great ministry that is connected to Ken Ham, right? The Creation Museum, the Ark in Kentucky. By the way, if you have not been to Kentucky and gone to the Ark Encounter and gone to the Creation Museum, I encourage you to do that. It is incredible. And I believe that this is such an important article because it's laying a foundation for not only what we see in our pulpits, it really explains what we see in our pulpits, but it also explains what we see in our college campuses. Because as we've seen our college campuses devolve into absolute anarchy, Jew hatred, anti-Semitism, anti-Christian, total support of socialism, Marxism, fascism, all these little Antifa thugs. And I'm sure you've seen the videos over the last few days of Columbia University, of Yale. We're going to be talking about University of Michigan, a few of these things. Again, I may be talking about this more on Thursday night as well. This article goes into talks about that. Here's a quote from Karl Marx. Our heart, reason, intelligence, and history all summon us with loud and convincing voice to the knowledge that union with Christ is absolutely necessary, that without him we would be unable to fill our purpose, that without him we would be rejected by God, that only he can redeem us. Karl Marx. That's what he had said. Karl Marx, whose later atheistic writings sowed ideas that would reap millions of deaths, penned the above words as a teenager in 1835, shortly before leaving home for a, what? Secular university. So that's what he wrote, penned in 1835, what I just read to you, as a Christian teenager. Oh man, I think about my children. I think about dry-eyed behind the computer and my 16-year-old Elias and my 10-year-old Micaiah and my daughters, and I think about all of our kids out there that we have poured into to give them a foundation as Christians, as having a love and a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the God of the Bible, and then they go off to university, and statistics tell us that 75%, 3 out of 4 of our kids that grew up in a Christian home, that grew up with a Christian foundation, turn away from their faith because of the absolute garbage that they're being fed, the evil that they're being fed in these secular, now secularized Marxist socialist campuses. And it's not any better in our youth groups. It's not any better in our young adult groups, because we've covered in the past that only 12% of youth pastors in America have a biblical worldview. Only 37%, according to George Barna, of pastors have a biblical worldview. So it's not any better in our churches. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's incumbent on us, parents. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. Because There is an article, Dry. Did I send you the one? Where is the Answers in Genesis? Do you have that one? The Darwinian Foundation of Communism. Yeah. So the article links. If you go to Answers in Genesis, that's their website, answersingenesis.org. You'll see the Darwinian Foundation of Communism. The review of the writings of the founders of communism shows that the theory of evolution, especially as taught by Darwin, was critically important in the development of modern communism. Many of the central architects of communism, including Stalin, Lenin, Marx, and Engels, accepted the worldview portrayed in the book of Genesis until they were introduced to Darwin and other contemporary thinkers, which ultimately resulted in their abandoning that worldview. And it goes on to go in great detail. Go ahead and come back to me, please. To this, it says, Beat Wilder Smith suggested that evolution is, quote, can you come back to me, please, Jariah? That evolution is a central plank in Marxist doctrine today. The Nazis were convinced, as are communists today, that evolution had taken place, that all biology had evolved spontaneously upward, and that in-between links, or less evolved types, should be actively eradicated. They believed that natural selection could and should be actively aided, and therefore instituted political measures to eradicate, watch this, the handicapped, the Jews, and the blacks, whom they considered as underdeveloped. So a central plank of Marxism is what? Being racist against blacks, Jew, anti-Semitic, Jew hatred, and the ones who are disabled. Believing that the disabled, the Jews, and blacks are lesser than. They're less human. This is exactly consistent with the teachings of the Quran. This is why the Muslims right now are siding with these Antifa thugs on the college campuses. This is why, because of socialism and Marxism, that this is why they are working together. You see the Antifa thugs and the pro-Palestine thugs, criminals, jihadists, working together. And where is their common hatred? The Jewish people. Because the Quran called the Jews lesser than. The Quran said that they're crooked nosed, that they're pigs and apes and monkeys. That's what the Quran called them, that they're deficient. That's the root of it, because this is the same Antichrist demonic spirit that was in Marx, that was in Darwin, that was in the lead up of Darwinism, which then led to eugenics, right? Margaret Sanger was a ardent supporter of Darwinism and of the theory of evolution. They bought into this grave deception, because what does the Bible say in Romans chapter 1? The moment you begin to deny that God is creator and you begin to worship the creation, which is what ultimately Darwinism is, right? It's the worship of creation. At its root, it's an anti-God, right? At its root, Darwinism is atheism. If you follow Darwinism, you lead to atheism. You have to deny God. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 that when that happens, when you replace the beautiful creator God for worshiping the creation, your mind becomes futile, your heart becomes darkened, you can't think straight, and that's exactly what is going on. So going back to the Harbinger Daily article, she says nearly two centuries later, I stood speechless outside the University of Berlin, where Marx had spent most of his student career. How, of all the possible days to visit this university, had I arrived during a major protest championing Marxist-based themes? Scanning the forest of handheld flags around me, I saw a fluttering riot of insignias ranging from communist organization logos to multicolored banners to the Soviet hammer and sickle emblem. Not far away, young people representing the Socialist German Workers' Youth held a sign which translated to, "Your war, our dead, peace to the workers, war to capitalism." She goes on to say, "These weren't the first signals of socialist revival I'd encountered during my backpacking journey to trace the history and consequences of Marxism. A month earlier at a university in London, I had spotted a poster for a Marxism 2022 event promising a festival of socialist ideas. A few weeks before that, I'd glimpsed a sign in Northern Ireland that stated, sectarianism, climate change, gender violence. We can't live with capitalism. Considering these words, I recalled another poster I'd seen at a Canadian secular university nearly 4 years earlier. The advertisement had invited students to join Canada's Young Communist League, declaring capitalism is war, racism, climate crisis, xenophobia, that means an irrational fear of foreigners, student debt, poverty wages, patriarchy, colonialism, unemployment, and precarious work. How did Karl Marx become the poster boy for today's cultural manifestation of a lie first whispered in Eden? Let's look closer at who Marx was and what he believed. So she goes into getting to know Marx and the background of Marx. But what I want to focus on is this: Marxism, a human-centered religion. So I want to get to this just really quick here. So this is the foundation, folks. Again, if you're joining us, let us know. Someone said Islam and communism are the top two threats to the devil uses and will continue to use against humanity in the future. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why we call it the red and green axis. American patriots, that's exactly what we call it. The red and green axis. The red is communism, socialism, Marxism, globalism. The green is Islam, the Muslims. Islam and the Islamic movement that has been around for 1,400 years, that has been absolutely a death blow to humanity for 1,400 years. Here we have now this element And yeah, someone said this is the Democrats' party platform. Yeah, but it's also, you're absolutely right, but it's also now absolutely in the Republican side, because you have Republicans that are beginning to push some of these ideas, the so-called Republicans, right, or rhinos. But going back to the article, here is the crux of Marxism, human-centered religion. That's really what, remember I said, that Marxism and Darwinism leads to atheism, right? You have to get to the point that it's just us. Because number one, what kind of beings are humans? What is humanity's core problem? And what is humanity's hope for redemption? Here are the biblical answers to those questions that are contrary to Marxism. Humans are created beings, right? So where Marxism and Darwinism would believe that we are not created, that we are evolved from ooze, from microbes, from nothingness, the Bible says humans are created beings. God created us in his image for his glory. Amen? In his image for his glory. Designed us for relationship with himself and one another. And tasked us to represent his loving authority over creation. I love that. That is our foundation. We were created to worship God. Amen? That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here because we're here to worship him and serve him. Number two, what is humanity's core problem, right? So Marxism, Darwinism would say that our core problem is not sin. It's not a sin nature. That's not our problem. Our problem is survival of the fittest. Our problem is that we have to ourselves figure out how we're going to overcome our humanity, evolve. And now you're seeing the push towards the fourth level of evolution, evolution to technology, right? Transhumanism. This is what the World Economic Forum and the likes of Yuval Harari are saying, right? It's now we're moving towards the aspect of transhumanism. We have to evolve beyond our human nature into now a merger of biology and technology. That's the next level, they claim, of evolution. But the Bible says our core problem is sin. Adam and Eve's rebellion against their creator brought death and suffering into the world, alienating humans from one another, from the creation over which we're to exercise dominion, and from God himself. So our sin has brought a struggle over creation. Creation is moaning and groaning, and it has brought a division between us and God that can only be bridged by our mediator. And the question, what is humanity's hope for redemption? Right? In Marxism and Darwinism, there is no hope, because his works are incomplete and inconsistent. And so is Darwinism, right? Darwinism leads to what? Selfishness. Because if it's survival of the fittest, then I need to be out for myself. I don't think about other people. It's me. So I become my an ultimate God, right? I elevate myself to a level of being God. But we know the Bible says humanity's hope for humanity's hope is found in Jesus Christ. Only the Son of God in human flesh could pay sin's physical and spiritual death penalty. Because that's what the Bible says, right? That the punishment or the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God, life or gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Sorry about that, folks. Forgot to silence my cell phone. And so this is really important to understand that the only person that could pay sin's physical and spiritual death penalty on behalf of all people who put their faith and hope in him is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. He lived on earth. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave, defeating death. He will fully reconcile creation to himself in the new heavens and the new earth, restored to perfection forever. Amen. Now for the basic answers according to Marx. Humans are creators. This is what Marx teaches. So that's what the Bible taught. Now here's what Marx teaches. Humans are creators. We arose naturally and constantly shape nature according to our own needs, our own dreams, and our own desires. When we are free to do so in harmony with others actively, we most fully express our humanity. As we shape our world and societies shape us. By creating our world, we create ourselves. What is humans' core problem is its socioeconomic structure. Capitalism is evil, right? Capitalism is evil. The rise of labor practices and private property ownership, Marx claims, endangered social divisions, inequalities, and exploitation. So if you have private property ownership, that's why all the World Economic Forum wants to get rid of private property ownership. They want to destroy small business owners. They love the big corporations, but they hate the mom and pop shops. They hate individual property rights. They hate individual business owners, entrepreneurs, because that independent spirit that God gives us, creativity, is a direct threat to Marxism and socialism. And now this is what's being preached in our pulpits, which I'll get to in a minute. The resulting socioeconomic conditions enslave workers to oppressive business owners, alienating the masses from fully expressing their humanity. That's what Marx taught. That if you have these conditions, the socioeconomic conditions, then what? You enslave workers to oppressive business owners. Really? Because what is communism? What is socialism? Isn't that oppressing workers? The rich get richer, and the middle class and the average become destitute. And according to Marx, humanity's hope is found in revolution. The current economic system is inherently unstable and must collapse as workers awaken to their exploited status, band together, and overthrow their oppressors by whatever means necessary. Now you understand why we are seeing this type of violence from these Antifa, socialist, Marxist, pro-Hamas thugs. Because they believe the only answer is to overthrow by violence. A communist New World Order will result, he said, where institutions of family, church, and state will be no more. So what are they trying to destroy? Family, the church, and a state that is under God. If they destroy the family, if they destroy the church, then the state will become secular, and the state will then turn on those institutions. It will turn on capitalism, free market capitalism, because they believe that's evil. And now you have their utopia, which really we know is hell on earth. And so in the article, she goes through more about humans as creators and Marx's backstory. Again, I encourage you to read this article. Now, this is the part I want to just quickly read, and then we're going to move on to some of our headlines. The gospel according to Marx. The problem, thought Marx, is that humans have created social conditions that thwart the possibility of living a fulfilled human life. In the drama of history as Marx portrayed it, the curtains opened on early humans existing in a material world. There, they experienced food, water, clothing, and shelter needs. Humans began developing production methods, including tools and techniques for hunting, gathering, and agriculture to meet these needs. People started structuring their social relationships around these production practices along the way. Most significantly, humans began dividing production processes into different tasks to be accomplished by different individuals. Marx thought that this, quote, division of labor, together with a corresponding rise in private ownership over the means of production, for example, land, machines, tools, led to societal divisions, inequalities, and the ultimate dehumanization of workers. This is where we get the idea of creating unions, banding together. These are all Marxist ideas. Unions are ultimately Marxist ideas, in my opinion. But now, as we said, we have to destroy these ideas, not just in society, but we have to destroy these ideas within the church, right? Family, church, God, the state. So if you destroy the family unit, if you destroy the church, faith in God, faith in the Creator, you destroy the state. And that's the ultimate goal of socialism, Marxism, communism. And that is what is being preached in our pulpits for the most part. So many of our pulpits that have been infiltrated, the seminaries have been infiltrated. They're pushing social justice. They're pushing racism above the gospel. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is colorblind. The gospel does not discriminate based on race, based on your skin color, based on nationality. Correct? Amen? The gospel does not discriminate. But if you're preaching a false gospel, another gospel that is based upon Marx, communism, socialism, Marxism, it's intertwined. It's infiltrated there, and it's hard sometimes to even know. Now you have another gospel being preached, a false gospel. And it will lead, as the article talks about, to dictatorships. Because the only way that you can control people, once you destroy their will to individuality under God. Because remember, God didn't design for us to be individual apart from Him, right? He created us, the self, right? He created Adam, gave him dominion, then created Eve as a helper. The two shall become one flesh, produce children, have a family, multiply, be fruitful. Why do you think that the enemy is attacking marriage? Why do you think the enemy is attacking sexuality, gender? All of this is the root consequences of this false gospel of Marxism. All of this is secular humanism, because that's what Marxism is, right? Marxism is ultimately secular humanism. All of this, brothers and sisters, that is now infiltrating our churches, our youth, and certainly poisoning universities, colleges. All of this is as a result of us abandoning family, the church. Drya, check that out, please. Family, the church, faith in God, all of this is our abandoning our God. And we need to return back to it. So again, I encourage you, check out this article. Because everything in society, religion, family, the state, law, morality, science, art, all of those things, individual private property, the idea of entrepreneurship, the idea of working on your land or in your business, and God giving you ideas and giving you creativity to express your giftings, all of those things are under attack. And we need to restore those things. That's the solution. We have to come back to the true gospel, and we have to restore those things which has been under attack now for 150 years minimum. 150 years more, right? Because again, as we talked about the article, Marx penned those words in 1835, but by 1843, he was already becoming radicalized. And moving towards this human-centered religion instead of a God-centered faith. Mark's rejecting God as the creator, which then led to Charles Darwin. Although Marx had embraced atheism long before Darwin popularized popularized evolution with his 1859 book, The Origin of the Species, this book's publication gave Marx a seemingly scientific argument for his own philosophy. Marx wrote, "Darwin's book is very important and serves me as a basis in natural science for the class struggle in history. Despite all Darwinism deficiencies, not only is this the death blow dealt here for the first time to theology in the natural sciences, but their rational meaning is empirically explained." So here we have unbelievable. There's one other article. Do you have that? Did you bring that other article? Or, yeah, the other one. Here's the other one that I want you to focus on. Marxism, Darwinism lived out. So what is Marxism? Marxism is Darwinism, is evolution, is atheism, is a rejection of God. And that's why our culture, please come back to me, is so rapidly devolving into anarchy, lawlessness. You want to understand, I'm trying to help to understand the root of this. This is the root. If we're teaching evolution, we're teaching our kids there is no God. The moment you remove God, all of society falls apart. That's the root. Let's go to some headlines real quick, Drya. Here is, before I get to Columbia, no, Columbia right there. Go to that first one that you had there. Nope, right there. Give me 1 second. Here's some things that are updated. Crisis on campus, tensions swell at Yale and Columbia. Ivy League campuses see increasing tension over the so-called Israel-Hamas war. Here's some other headlines. Let's see. Biden supposedly comes out and condemns anti-Semitic protests on college campuses. Yeah, really, while he's placating the Muslims. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez praises, quote, peaceful college campus protests. Really? It's amazing how they're always peaceful, but we're the insurrectionists. Columbia deactivates dissident Israeli-American professor's ID. You may have seen this. Davidi had earlier advertised a, quote, peaceful sit-in at Columbia's declared liberation zone. I don't know if you guys saw the video. His security card to go in was deactivated. Okay, so here's the headline. Go to that first headline. Columbia University, which is in New York, descends into pure racist hatred. Details on Columbia University's descent into pure racist hatred can be found here. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Quote, this was the post there. It's hard to see on the screen there. Jerusalem Post, calls for violence continue at Columbia. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. How is that not inciting violence, folks? In another Instagram video in which a poster of Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, Secretary General Ahmad Sa'adat can be seen in the background, anti-Israel activists saying, "Oh Hamas, our beloved, strike, strike Tel Aviv." These students on Instagram display a PFLP official on a poster in the background while they sing about a different terror group, Hamas. So this is happening, folks, on Columbia. Now, where is Columbia? Go ahead and come back to me, please, Drya. Columbia is in New York. And this is why I have said that I believe New York is the next city. I believe New York now has gone to the upper house of Islam. If you understand the two houses, that's one of the things that I was briefing for these legislators in Minnesota. They don't understand the two houses of Islam. They don't understand how Islam will quickly turn on them. And so, once the city of New York began to broadcast the Islamic call of prayer 5 times a day over in the entire, all the boroughs, no permit required, and that privilege not given to any other religious group, and New York City has the most mosques of any city in America, I said just a few months ago, New York has now gone to the upper house, and that's why you're seeing this type of hatred. Here's another one, quote, as the counter-protests return to their dormitory, students supporting Israel, Columbia video showed that these students, these Jews, they were taunted with calls of, quote, Jews and told to, quote, go back to Poland. How is this not Kristallnacht? How is this not 1938 Germany? How are we not seeing how dangerous this is? This is global. This isn't even regional as it was in 1938. That's why I said I believe this is worse anti-Semitism than was during the rise of Hitler. Here's another one. One Jewish counter-protester tried to stop the activists from setting an Israeli flag on fire, according to SSI. In another video, a Jewish student was splashed with water. Within our lifetime, leader Nardine Kiswani, after her wedding, managed to enter the campus despite it being allegedly locked down. Kiswani led the crowd in a chant in a video published by Students for Justice in Palestine, which, by the way, is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. They have a Student for Justice in Palestine, Colombia, saying there is only one solution, Intifada revolution. Intifada means that this is their holy war. This is part of jihad against the Jews. In another video published by Palestinian Youth Movement New York City, all Muslim Brotherhood front groups, by the way, they chanted, and it's all covered in the explanatory memorandum, the playbook of the Muslim Brotherhood. These groups are highlighted with my friend and colleague, William Gothrop, PhD. He's a former FBI agent who wrote this intelligence analyst handbook on Islam. All these groups are mentioned in there. They chanted, Zionism will fall brick by brick, wall by wall. Israel will fall, and called U.S. imperialist number one terrorist. And it goes on and on. Let's go to the next one, Drya. Let's go to that one. That's fine. Do that one. Here's Geller Report, Columbia University. Again, protesters call Jews pigs, as the Quran states. This is exactly where, in accordance with Surah chapter 2, 63 to 66. Let me read it for you. Let's go to Surah chapter 2, 66. 63 to 66, so that we can see what this evil book says. Give me one second here. 63. Here we go. Here's the subheading. This is the accurate Quran from my friend Usama Datdok, Egyptian who speaks fluent Arabic. Allah turned the Jews into monkeys because they did not keep the Sabbath. Here's what, that's the headline. Here is, starting in verse 63. And when we took your covenant and lifted up the Torah over you, take what we gave to you by strength and remember what is in it. Perhaps you may fear. Then after this, you turned away. So this is supposedly Allah talking to the Jews. So, were it not for Allah's bounty and mercy on you, you would have been among the losers. And indeed, verse 65, you know those of you who transgressed in the Sabbath. And we said to them, become despised monkeys. So we made that an example to what is between her hands and what is behind her and a sermon to the hearers. So here we have, they are monkeys. In chapter 5, I want to read this so you can hear it out of this disgusting, evil book that so many Christians believe have common ground with the Muslims. Surah chapter 5, in verse 59, say, O people of the book, do you ridicule us? People of the book means Jews and Christians. Do you ridicule us because we believed in Allah and what He has sent down to us and what He has sent down before, and that many of you are transgressors? Say, will I inform you of evil then that as punishment from Allah, they whom Allah has cursed, that's the Christians and Jews, and on whom He has poured forth His wrath, some of them He changed into monkeys and swine. That means pigs. And they who worship the idolatry, those are in an evil place and have gone astray from the right way. So apparently Allah changed some Christians and Jews into monkeys and pigs. So go back to that headline, please, Drya. Again, Columbia University, when protesters wearing this keffiyeh that you see, when this protester was asked, do you support Hamas? Look at this. Yes, we are all Hamas. She's wearing the keffiyeh, which is the scarf of Hamas solidarity to an organization, folks, that is currently sitting on the State Department list as a terrorist organization. How come these thugs are not being investigated by the FBI, the corrupt, useless FBI? How come they're not being investigated as domestic terrorists, as insurrectionists? But they come after us. And when they say Jews are pigs, that's exactly because the Quran, this evil book, says Jews are apes and pigs. I just read you two verses. Let's go to the next headline. Columbia president, right there. Columbia president's comment on the 9/11 attacks. Quote, terrorism is a form of protesting. Who hired her? Why hasn't she been fired? This is the president of Columbia University. Let me go to this Twitter link here. It's on X. I'm trying to get the name of this individual here. Flashback. At an event just 2 months after 9/11, Columbia University's current president, Manoush Shafiq. Oh, she's a Muslim. Oh, what a surprise. Remarked that terrorism is a form of protesting. Ah, that's flashback. Go ahead and come back to me, please. So flashback, folks. So this is why. Now you know why they are allowing this this anarchy, this hatred to take place on Columbia's university campus. Now you know why. And where's that other one? Here, let's go to the one from Jihad Watch about University of Michigan. Where's that one? Right there. It's out in the open of the University of Michigan. Freedom for Palestine means death to America. Here's the article. Let me click on this article here from PJ Media by Robert Spencer. Let's see. As open support for Hamas and gleeful defiance of the authorities whom the students know are both impotent and sympathetic sweeps across our nation's campuses, it comes as no surprise, great surprise, that a flyer has been circulating at the University of Michigan that proclaims, quote, freedom for Palestine means death to America. Remember we covered this a couple of weeks ago? Go ahead and come back to me, please. That they were shouting death to America in the Al-Quds event in Dearborn, Michigan, in Chicago, in Houston, where they were shouting death to America. We better gear up, folks. We better gear up. All this is coming down the pike. This is what's in America. And what is the backstory? What is the root of this? The root of this is Marxism. The root of this is socialism. The root of this is communism and promoting Islam. This red-green axis working together. You see, you now see, folks, you now see these college campuses, Yale and Harvard and Columbia, all these universities that at what time, as somebody said on the comment, had Christian roots. What happened? Marxism came in. You destroy the family. You destroy the church. You destroy faith in God. You've destroyed the state. And now secular humanism takes over. Now it's all about what I feel, what I, you know. So their supporters can set themselves on fire and it's a just cause. They can beat up Jews and act the way they are. It's a just cause. Folks, how is America seeing a turning when this is the festering poison, cancer that is in our college campuses and in many of our Christian pulpits. Christian. So please be warned. And please understand that the only answer, the only solution is for us to return and reclaim family. We need to reclaim what it means to be a man. We need to reclaim what it means to be a woman of God, a man of God. We need to reclaim our children from the statist and the government and the indoctrination and all the gender dysphoria and gender mutilation surgeries. We need to reclaim our children. We need to reclaim our marriages. We need to reclaim our faith. We need to reclaim the Church of Jesus Christ. The only solution is to restore the family. The only solution is to restore the remnant bride of Christ. The only solution then is for us to build community. Because I don't see a solution where we're going to restore America's government. Certainly nationally. I don't. I'm sorry. And amen, my dear mom. My spiritual mom, who's on the comments, armor up, amen. Armor up, because the days are about to get the rest of the days of this year alone are about to get bumpier. The world is now fully going down the road of embracing Jew hatred, anti-Semitism, far greater than it was in 1938 and 39, 1940, far greater than Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass. Far greater than the boycott of the Jews back then. Now we have global BDS, boycott, divestion, and sanctions. And now we have our law enforcement and government sitting by and giving platitudes like O'Biden, who doesn't even know what he's saying. Meanwhile, they're being allowed to threaten and call for violence and commit acts of violence, and nothing happens to them. Even if they get arrested, they're out before the day is up. No charges will be brought up against these people, just like in 2020, where we saw Antifa go scot-free, and we became the bad guys. The McCloskeys in St. Louis, who were defending their properties, became the bad guys. So armor up. Be ready to defend your homes. Be ready to defend your families. Build a community like we're trying to do here. A community response team for communications, medical, security. We got to defend our own businesses. We got to defend our own churches. It's on us, folks. It's us and God. Forget this government. Forget it. It's so deep state at the federal level. I'm not saying give up at the local level, at the federal level. And get ready. Christ is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, folks. But the root of this, think about this attack has been, Satan has been attacking family and the church and God and creationism for over 150 years. Almost 175 years. It's been under attack. And we have to systematically take one step back, one step, one step, take it back. And it starts with our kids. It starts with our marriages. It starts with the family. And it starts with the bride of Christ. God is judging. I said Sunday night, I felt Spirit laid on my heart that during this week of Passover, I believe God is searching and testing and weighing the pulpits of America, the condition of the churches, and he's going to be judging them further, further exposing them. That's why you're seeing such virulent anti-Semitism, virulent Jew hatred coming forth from Christians who are confused. Lord bless you guys. We're up to our time. It's 1:09 Eastern time. If you appreciate this program, would you prayerfully consider a one-time donation to this ministry? We'll have the link up there in a minute. And it's a secure link if you want to donate online. tillministry.com/donate. It's right there on the screen. We thank you because we're 100% supported by you. Would you prayerfully consider supporting this ministry? And Lord, bless every single one of you who are part of our Gideon Army. Our Gideon Army are those that are our monthly supporters that pray for us and donate on a monthly basis. If that's something that you're open to, we greatly appreciate it. And then also, if you want to consider getting some of our new DVDs, our brand new DVD, We Will Not Comply, is out. It is so critically important for us to understand godly authority. By the way, I talked about this. Somebody asked earlier, what is something you talked about to the legislators in Minnesota? I talked about godly authority. I was talking about biblical citizenship. I mentioned that we will not comply. I mentioned that government is a minister of God as one authority, not the only authority. Government is a minister of God. We must understand our rightful place under God. And if we don't, we will then usurp his authority, and judgment is coming. Judgment is already here. So, folks, get equipped. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much for being a student of truth, being having a heart for truth. That's my heart. I want to have a heart for truth no matter what. And so I pray that you will also continue to seek the truth wherever it leads. Let us be followers of Christ. Let us stand our ground. Have a blessed rest of your Passover week as we gear up to celebrate this coming Sunday, the, I believe, proper resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you guys. Have a blessed day. Remember, Thursday, I'll be pre-recording, but we'll be the show will air live at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to continue talking about this anti-Semitism, this incredibly dangerous rise of Jew hatred amongst churches, conservatives, media, and what we need to do about it to stand faithfully with God's word and with the Jewish people. For me and my household, we will stand with the Jewish people. We will stand with their right of self-defense, and we will stand with God's promises that he has not yet done with the nation of Israel and with the Jewish people. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. Have a blessed week.